North Campus, would you help me welcome all of our other campuses that are joining with us today? We're glad you're there, no matter where you're at, whatever campus you've come to today. Thanks for being there. I'm excited to know what God is doing across our campuses in our first service today. We already had across our campuses 7 baptized. We just baptized 12 more here. So we're thankful for what God's going to be doing today across all of our campuses, and we welcome you. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and we are glad that you are there today. Let's make our confession together. If you've got your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, let's just hold that up and say this together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that God's Word has power to change our lives. If you go to the book of Mark today, Mark the 5th chapter, and we're just continuing this process looking at storms. That's the title of this series, is Storms. And we started out in Mark the 4th chapter with Jesus and the disciples in a boat together, and the Bible says, and a great storm arose, and Jesus was asleep in the back part of the boat, and they went and woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care? We're about to die here. And we talked the first week about crisis in life, that the storm of life sometimes brings that crisis, and how you and I can handle that with the help of the Almighty God. And the Bible says when that storm was over, that Jesus arrived on the seashore at a place called Gadara, and there he is met with a man who has a storm of his own going on inside of him. The Bible says that man was in great bondage. And last week we talked about how that bondage has a hold of our life, and how that Jesus Christ is able to come into our lives and bring freedom to each and every one of us. Now today we're going to continue to move along with this story, because what happens is, as Jesus leaves Gadara and he goes back to the other side, the Bible says that there's this great crowd that comes up. And first of all, Jesus meets a guy named Jairus, who we're going to talk about next week. But we're going to skip down just a little bit in the story, because sandwiched in Jairus' story is the story of what we refer to as the woman with the issue of blood. And today, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the power of desperation. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, those of you here as well as those watching, how many of you have ever been desperate? Right? I mean, we've all been there. It's in that moment of desperation. But I want to tell you, in those moments of desperation, it is really a good thing, because desperation moves us into what God has for us. Now, this woman had what I would refer to as the storm of continued sickness. I mean, she is just sick. And the Bible says she had been sick for 12 years. Now, think about this. This woman we're going to look at, the Scripture says that for 12 long years she had suffered. And the Bible goes on to say, that she had what the Scripture refers to as an issue of blood. And I looked at a lot of different scholars and commentaries and concordances and all kind of things, and they're not real sure what it is, except to say that somehow her body was hemorrhaging for 12 long years. I want to talk about she was the victim of a chronic disability, right? And so there's this loss of vitality that's going on in her life. It's an embarrassing situation for her, because for 12 years her life is kind of ebbing away, and really she is just slowly dying. Her life is just going away. And as you study the Scripture, what you find is that if you had any kind of a disease like this under the Old Testament law, she couldn't be in public. She couldn't go out of her house. She was confined, in a sense, to her place of residence. Everything she touched was considered unclean. And when you begin to study that in the Old Testament, you find that there's so much about that, that anything she touched had to go through a purification ritual before anybody else could touch it, and no one could touch her, because if they touched her, then they were considered unclean. They had to go through a purification. I mean, think about it in the life. I mean, think just for a moment of living life in that manner, how lonely she must have been. I mean, how she felt like I'm untouchable. If anybody touches me, if my children or my husband or anybody in my family comes along and touches me, then they're unclean. And so she has, not only is she sick, people, but she's carrying all of this weight as well with her. And the Bible says this about her. It says that she suffered much at the hands of many physicians, yet grew worse. Now think about it, and I want all the medical professional people to relax right now, okay? Pastor's not going down that road. But I thought, what does that mean? She suffered much at the hands of many physicians, yet grew worse. So I went back and again just did some research, and let me just tell you three ancient cures that I came across, all right? You ready? The first one was, if you were sick, if you had something like this, here's what they would tell you to do. You were to carry the ashes of an ostrich egg in linen. I don't know why. Don't look at me like that, like I've got more to that. It's just that was one of the things. They said, you're sick? Here's an ostrich egg that we've burned up. Here's the ashes. Put it in some linen and carry it with you. Now, the next two, some of you are really going to like. You ready? Here was another one. Y'all may be too spiritual for this one. Here's the next one. Dig 7 ditches and drink wine out of them. Now, I don't know if that would cure you, but if you did that, you wouldn't care if you were sick. Another one, this one involves wine too. Another one was you were to hold a glass of wine and have someone to frighten you and something in that was going to do. I guess there was a lot of wine drinking going on. I don't know. But these were the kind of things that she was going through. I mean, think about this for a minute. She was physically wasted. I mean, her body has experienced 12 years of sickness, 12 years of going through disease and all the things that go along with that. She was financially broke. Y'all know what broke is? Any of you ever been broke? Not fun to be broke, is it? It's not even fun to get down to your last dime. She's financially broke. And lastly, she was emotionally destitute because she had lived this untouchable life for 12 long years. Now, let's get into the Word of the Lord because I want to show us today what brought her healing. So if you look there in the book of Mark, the 5th chapter, and it starts out that Jesus is in this crowd, and he's going to Jairus' house, and there's all these people around him. And verse 25 is where we're going to pick up. It says, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus," how many of you are glad you heard about Jesus? Amen. Amen. "When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering." I mean, what a wonderful story, right? I mean, all of us want that story. We want that to happen in our lives. And what's so great about that is that the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he is the same forever. And so if he did it back there, guess what? He's still a healer today. The Word of God says he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, our healer. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. And so when we begin to understand that, we begin to live at a different level. Now, let's look at what happened in her world and what needs to happen in our world to defeat the storm that comes along. First of all, is that she heard about Jesus, right? The scripture says that when she heard about Jesus. Now I want to tell you something. You've got to hear about Jesus before you can be healed by Jesus. You've got to hear about Jesus before your life can be transformed about Jesus. The book of Luke says this, Jesus speaking here said, Luke the 4th chapter, verse 18 and 19, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor," and says, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set oppressed the free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, when we begin to read that, the Word of God is quite clear that Jesus came to do miraculous things. Amen? How many of you believe Jesus was a miracle worker? Amen? If I don't believe that, then I don't believe He's the Messiah. I don't believe He rose again the third day. I don't believe anything. But if I can believe that He is a miracle worker, that He is able to do that, because here's what she heard. She heard that the sick were being healed. How many of you know if you're sick and you hear somebody's praying for people and they're getting healed, you're going to want to go hang out with them, right? Amen. Listen, let me say this to you. If you're sick, don't make fun of people who pray for the sick. Right? I've heard all kind of sick people making fun. I won't call any names, but of people who pray for the sick, and they'll make fun of them and then wonder why they stay sick. You know, you receive what you honor. Uh-oh. If you honor healing, you'll receive healing. If you dishonor healing, by dishonoring the men and women that God uses in healing, do I need to preach that sermon? You won't receive it. So she's heard the sick are healed. The dead are being raised. Now, that's a pretty good one, right? Jesus is going by raising dead people up. Signs and wonders are happening everywhere that Jesus goes. He's doing all kind of miracles. He's feeding the 5,000. He's doing all kind of stuff. And then lastly, she heard that the demons were being cast out. In fact, that's what we talked about last week when Jesus encountered the man at Gadara who was possessed by spirits. And so when she heard about that, she heard about Jesus. And guess what? She didn't just hear that Jesus was a good man. She heard that He was a healer. He was a deliverer. And so that got her attention. I want to say something to you today. Listen to me carefully. If you need something in your life, I've got the answer. And it's not me. It's Jesus. Jesus is the answer to your problem. The Word of God says that when she heard about Jesus, that she said, if I can just, here's the second thing. She made a decision. She decided to go and do something. She decided to leave where she was. How many of you know that if she had stayed in her house that day, she wouldn't have been healed? Right? What happened is, I believe this. I believe that the Word came in her spirit, all right? The Word that Jesus was the healer, the Word that Jesus was coming by, got in her spirit, and something ignited inside of her. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I hear the Word, then faith comes inside me and I say, man, Jesus is coming by, and I'm not going to hang out in my house. If Jesus is going to be out on the street, I'm going to get out on the street. Right? And so the Word came in her spirit. Secondly, here's what happens is that when you hear that Word, the Word paints a picture of our desired future. Now don't miss that. All right? Here's what the Bible says about faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. It's that picture of a desired future. Remember, I've talked to you time and again, don't get all focused on the facts. We think we're on Dragnet back in the day. Just the facts, no? Facts and truth collide. The fact was she was sick. The truth was the healer was walking down the road. The fact may be you're going through a turmoil, you're going through a situation, but the truth is God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works down inside of us. Amen? That's what we've got to focus on. And you know what? She didn't let the obstacle stop her. I love that. So many of us let things stop us, don't we? Well, you know, I've said a lot of times, y'all okay? Can I talk to you? I've said a lot of times, I hope God doesn't come on Wednesday night. That y'all feel, I don't care. At this point, I don't care if you feel convicted or condemned. I'll take either one. Right? And especially if it happens to be raining on Wednesday night. Okay, now, Lord, forgive all of us, and we'll move on. Okay, all right. But there, you know, there's all these obstacles that come up. And I mean, you talk about having some obstacles. This woman's got some serious ones. You know, the law said If she goes out like that and they find her out there, they can kill her. Who? Right? I mean, it wasn't just, well, you know, you need to go back home. No, they had a right, according to the Old Testament law, to stone her. People didn't want her out there. They didn't want to be touched by her. And she's been suffering for 12 long years with this sickness, with this disease. And yet, the Word of God says that she made a decision to do something. In fact, let me say this to you. If you want something you have never had, you must do something you have never done. Can I say that again? If you want something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. Now, let's say the reverse of that. Einstein is quoted as saying that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. See, if she stayed in the house, which she's been doing for 12 long years, do you think she's going to be healed? No. Jesus is going to walk right by her house. We used to sing a song. How many of you remember that old song? Now, this will tell me if you went to old school church, all right? We used to sing a song back in old school church that said, Lord, please don't pass me by. Well, a bunch of y'all went, okay? Lord, I don't remember the rest of it, but the whole thing was, please don't pass me by. And I remember we used to sing that. And I had somebody when I was pastoring, this was years and years ago, that's when we had hymnals. Y'all remember hymnals? Some of you don't even know what a hymnal is. All right? And somebody came to me and said, Pastor, that song is theologically incorrect. I said, why? And they said to me, because the Lord would not pass anybody by. I want to tell you, He will. In fact, I'll go a step further. I see Him pass people by every Sunday. Because people will come into the house of God, And there'll be somebody who's wanting something from God, who's saying, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, if I can just get to Him. And there's somebody else that they just punch in the time clock. They just showed up because it was their religious duty to be there. And you know what's going to happen? Jesus, are you ready? Jesus is going to pass them by, and He's going to encounter that woman, that man, who said, if I don't get to Jesus today, if Jesus doesn't show up in my life today, I can't make it. And that's who Jesus is looking for. Amen. See, here's the deal. Her desperation turns to faith when she hears about Jesus. When she hears about Jesus, she goes, wait a minute, I'm not going to stay in this place of desperation any longer. Come on, some of you need to get there. Some of you have lived so long. You have lived what the writer called quiet lives of desperation. And some of us haven't been too quiet about it. Some of us have told everybody, man, it is just so horrible. It's just, if God doesn't show up, if this doesn't, wait a minute, He's showing up today. He is in the house today. His presence is here today. His anointing is here today. His angels are here today. What we've got to do is come to that place where we say, you know what? I've got to get to Jesus. And the third thing in that passage that we read is that she received. All right? When she left her house and she came to Jesus, she received. Here's what's wonderful about that. And I want you to get this today. We have so many people in the body of Christ who talk about faith. But the Apostle James says this. He said, all of you that are talking about faith, he said, faith without works is dead. He said, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. By what I would do. See, her faith led her to action. She did something. She didn't stay in her house. She didn't stay in the same place that she had been. She moved into action when she heard that Jesus was coming by. Listen, there are some of us today who we need to move into action. We've been sitting long enough. We've been sick long enough. We've been disgusted long enough. We've been broke long enough. We've been mad long enough. Whatever the issue, we have been that long. Aren't you tired of living that busted poverty mentality that all it does is, well, if I can just one day die and go home to be with sweet Jesus? Are you kidding me? Now, it'd be wonderful to go home and be with Jesus, but I'm not in a big hurry. Does that mess with your world? You know, I unless one of y'all walk up and hand me one of these books about the end of time, I don't ever read a book on eschatology and the end of time. It's coming. Whenever it happens, if the Lord comes and I'm still alive, I'll be all right. But I don't spend a bunch of time worried about the end of time. I don't ever get your big old charts up here and, you know, put 666 and... Well, you ought to teach people about the end of time. You'll know it when we get there. Right? I'm not going to have to come, hey, let me tell you, Bubba, this, no, uh-uh. In fact, you'll be coming to church on Wednesday night when it's in. I'm going to leave Wednesday night alone, Lord. All right? See, here's the deal, is that she desired to change her circumstances. When are we going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired? When are we going to desire to change our circumstances that we are in? And you know what happened? When she got there and she said, man, I got to do something, her desperation ignited her faith. I love that word picture there. It's like her faith caught on fire. There used to be a song years ago our choir did in Adamsville, said, I wish somebody would catch on fire. We might, where's Adam? We might resurrect that today. I don't know. Somebody needs to catch on fire. Somebody needs to get excited about what God's doing. Somebody needs to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to ignite their faith and say, I am tired of being in this place, and I am not going to sit here this way any longer. Amen. Her action moved her faith. Now think about that. Again, James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my word. Her action moved, that her faith began to do something. As she's moving, her faith is moving. Think about that. It's kind of that picture of you take one step, your faith takes another step, and when they come together and Jesus is in the middle, something's going to take place. Something's going to happen. And the Bible says that when she got in proximity of Jesus, she kind of snuck through the crowd and reached down, and the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. Now that word hem of his garment there is literally the prayer shawl that Jesus had on. And the scripture says in the Old Testament that when the Messiah comes, the prayer shawl has tassels on it that are called tallit, and they're referred to as wings in the Old Testament. And here's what the Old Testament says about Messiah. It says when Messiah gets here, he will have healing in his wings. When she didn't just reach out and grab a hold of his clothes. She reached out to where the Old Testament had told her healing was going to be when Messiah got there. And when she grabbed a hold of the tallit, the tassels on his prayer shawl, her faith that had now come into action ignited within her, and her touch released her faith. See, that's why James tells us again. Well, I'm talking a lot about James. That's why James says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they've committed any sins, they shall be forgiven them. Why do we anoint with oil? Is there something special? Is that holy oil? No, that might be Wesson oil. The oil's not what's important. What is important? Well, this oil, and some of you buy into this, so let me just mess things up. If you would send me $100, I will send you some oil from the Holy Land. Well, I will too. I'll take it over here about Bemis, and I'll say, this is holy ground right here. Oh. Come on, that's a joke. All right? The oil is not holy. The action is holy. What is taking place is that the Lord is telling us, look, in that moment when the oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is placed upon you, let your faith be released in that moment and see what I can do on your behalf. Amen. Let's look what happened here. Look in verse 30. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? What's the disciples? You see the people crowding around you, as disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Don't you love the disciples? I mean, don't you really? I love them. I love that Jesus lets all that stuff be put in the scripture. Because that's what I would say. If I was there, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people pressing in around Jesus, and Jesus turns around and goes, hey, Eddie, who touched me? Are you kidding me? See these people, Lord? Lord, I you've been ministering a lot. I think you're tired. Lord, there's all kind of people touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? You say, but let me explain something to you. There's a difference in touching Jesus and touching Jesus. See, because when you touch Jesus, here's what happens. First of all, you stop him. See, his response is in that moment, he is stopped when she touches him. Do not pass me by. I can touch him and he'll stop. The second thing that happened is he turned his attention. He is on his way to Jairus' house. He is going to heal this little girl. He's going to do all that. But in this moment now, instead of his focus being fixed on going to somebody's house, his attention is now changed. Could it be that you can get the attention of God Almighty? Your faith has the ability. I want to tell you, we were in prayer yesterday in our corporate prayer time, and I told him, I said, if our church understood how powerful prayer was, we couldn't hold it in an auditorium B, and we probably couldn't hold it in an auditorium A, because there is something that gets the attention of God when God's people begin to cry out to him. So it turned his attention. And it also prompted a question, and I love this. I've told you time and again, when God asks you a question, he is not looking for an answer. He knew who touched him. He's the incarnate one. He's God robed in flesh. He knew who touched him. But in that moment, he is trying to bring about something that we're going to see in just a minute out of her that's going to be life-changing for her, not just in that moment. And so, not only does he ask that question, he ignores the obvious. Well, of course, everybody's touching you, Lord. Well, I got that, okay, guys? I understand that. But somebody touched me. And the Bible says he just continues his pursuit of that. Now, think about this for a minute. The psalmist says, as the deer pants after the water, so my soul longs for thee, O God. All right? So our hearts go after God. But the scripture lets us know that God's heart goes after us. His desire is to spend time with you. His desire is to be intimate with you. The Word of God in the book of Galatians says that we have been given the rights to be sons and daughters of God. That means that we don't come to God in a timid manner, but we come as his children. And if you love your children, and sometimes it's, and I'm sure God looks at some of us and goes, but if you love your children, your heart goes after your children. God's heart goes after us. Look in verse 33 and 34. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Boy, somebody needs to hear that. All right? So here's what Jesus is asking this question to her because he wants something to happen in her. First of all, she had to acknowledge the past. For 12 years, I have suffered. The Bible says she told him the whole truth. For 12 years I've gone, for 12 years I have had this experience. Let me say something to you. You don't need to live in your past, but you do need to acknowledge your past. The Bible says, such were some of you, but now you're redeemed. Now you're bought with. Now, that's who we were. That's not who we are. The next thing is that she had to realize the miracle that had happened inside of her. I got thinking about that as I was preparing this series, and I thought, you know what? I wonder how many times God does miracles and we never realize it. Now, I know he does that on an ongoing basis with, you know, angels and things that protect us and keep us from harm and his provision. I know that. But I'm talking about, think about the times, and again, just go with me for a moment. Think about the times that you have prayed about something and you wanted it right then in that moment and it didn't come and you kind of forgot it. But 2 months, 6 months, maybe a year later, the answer came. And we, watch what I'm going to say, we didn't even realize the miracle had happened. We prayed for it. We asked God for it. We had other people, oh, would y'all pray with me about this? But then when it came, we didn't even realize it had happened. Could it be, and I'll get off this, but could it be that the reason we don't have more miracles is because we haven't been thankful for the last miracle? Now, thirdly, she had to leave the suffering. She had to leave what she had been to become everything that God wants her to. I say this carefully. There are some people who don't want to be healed. Y'all all right? Because if they get healed, they'll have to go to work. I have to give up that disability check. Pastor, pray for me that I get well enough that I won't die, but I don't want to get so good that I don't get that check. I know I'm being politically incorrect, and I love it. See, if I want to become everything that God wants me to be, I've got to leave the suffering behind. At what point in your life, well, you got to understand, my mama didn't love me. And I'm not making light of that. That's a horrible thing. But you're 58 years old. I'm not trying to be rude. Some of you think I'm being mean. I don't mean to be mean. But what? Well, you know, I went for a promotion at this job and I didn't get it because of my race or my color or my skin or my sex or all the stuff we throw out there. And then for the next 20 years, we talk, all we do is live in our suffering. The odds may be stacked against you. I'm not saying, the odds were definitely stacked against this woman. But at some point, she just said, I'm tired of being here, and I'm ready to leave my suffering behind so I can get what God has for me. Lastly, is you have to accept the miracle. Accept the miracle. Accept what God wants to do on your behalf. Let me just wrap it up, just put a bow on it for you. All right? Here's what she did, and here's what we have to do to walk out of the storm of sickness, disease, whatever it is in our life. First of all, she believed in Jesus. Listen, there are some of you who are listening to me today, some of you who are watching me today, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that's ever going to happen in your life is when you get saved. All right? But to get saved, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe that he died for your sins. You've got to believe he rose again. You've got to believe that he will forgive you. Amen. So she believed in Jesus. Secondly, she decided to come to him. Amen. All right? Again, if you want to get saved, if you want anything to happen in your life, you've got, there's a lot of people who say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. He was a historical figure of great intellect and dialogue and all. Yeah. That's wonderful. But I've got to come to him. The Bible says, casting all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Thirdly, she exhibited her faith. She did something. She left where she was to get to where he was. She exhibited her faith. And she changed her life. Her life was changed in a moment when she got in the presence of the I Am of eternity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. If that is true, then whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works inside of me. Do you believe that today? I believe God wants to set us free in the midst of desperation. Amen.